Okay, we're starting here on the bottom of Mem Tet Amud Bet. The Gemara here is discussing psukim that are seemingly contradictory between that which is written in the Torah and that which is written in Yeshayahu. So over here we have Mika Shem Elokeinu B'chol Kareinu Elav, who's like Hashem, who we can call to Him at any time, implying that there is no limit, there is no specific time in which you can call to Hashem, it's open at all times. Whereas in Yeshayahu it says, Dirshu Hashem Behi Matzo. You can call Hashem when He's found, implying that there's a specific time where He's found that you can be Doresh, you can make requests or beseech Him. So the Gemara answers here, like we've seen before, which is Ha B'Yachid, Ha B'Tzipur. The difference here is between whether you're an individual or you're part of the Tzibur. An individual has a specific time or is relegated to a specific time, whereas the Tzibur has any time. So the power of the Tzibur, and this is an important fact, that the power of the Tzibur is that they can call out any time to Hashem, they can beseech Hashem at any time. The Yachid is limited. Right? When is that time that the Yachid has that opportunity to call out? These are the 10 days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom HaKippurim. Those are the times that you have the ability to call out to Hashem. Those are the times where Hashem is present, close by, and therefore even a Yachid is afforded the opportunity to call out during that time. And as the Rambam formulates it, that when Hashem is present, then you have to take advantage of that opportunity, otherwise it's a wasted opportunity that cannot be reclaimed. And that's what he says about Yom HaKippurim, that it's Ketz Slicha Michila Lakol. It's the final stage, it's the final opportunity to call out to Hashem, and that if you miss it, there's no making it up on Motzei Yom HaKippurim. I would suggest that probably in the vein of the Rambam, that as you get closer and closer to Hashem, or the presence of Hashem is more and more apparent, then there's more obligation for one to seek Hashem and to look for Hashem. When once you reach Yom HaKippurim, which is the time period where Hashem is most present, then there is the highest obligation upon us to reach out to Hashem or to speak to Hashem. And that is the obligation on Yom HaKippurim to reach out to Hashem and not to pass up that opportunity. But here again, this is for the Yachid. The Tzibur has the power to do this even when it's not Ben Rosh Hashanah v'Yom HaKippurim. Obviously for the Tzibur as well, it's easier Ben Rosh Hashanah v'Yom HaKippurim, but nevertheless, it is still open to them all year round, and that's how we explain the Stira and the Psukim. Now, the next Stira is Et Mispar Yamecha Amalei, that you will live out your full life. And then we have the Pasuk, which is talking about Chizkiyahu HaMelech with Yeshayahu. It says, Vosafti Yamecha Chamesh Yisrei Shana, that I'm going to add on to your life 15 years. So it sounds like Et Mispar Yamecha Amalei means that I'll fill out your life, you'll live a full life. And yet over here, we're suggesting that he got 15 years added on to his life. So how does that work? Et Mispar Yamecha Amalei Tanayehi. That is a Machloket Tanayim. Titanyo, Et Mispar Yamecha Amalei, I will have you live out your life. Elu Shnei Dorot. Those are the years of the generations. Zacha Mashlimim Lo. If he's Zoche, you live out that period that was relegated to you. Lo Zacha, if he's not Zoche, Pochatim Lo. Then they reduce it. So there is this fixed time that you're supposed to live. And if you do what's right, you will get your full life. Whereas if you're not Zoche, then there will be a reduction in that life. Divrei Rabbi Akiva. That's Rabbi Akiva's view, that Et Mispar Yamecha Amalei means that you will live out the years that were designated for you. Shnei HaDorot. Again, they use the term Dorot instead of Shanim, because Dorot is the terminology that HaKadosh Baruch Hu uses when he comes to explain that he is counting the Dorot, or he looks at the Dorot. It's a terminology that implies a time period or fixed time period. So you gain, or you're granted, a certain amount of lifespan. And if you're Zoche, you fulfill that whole lifespan. If you're not, then it gets cut short. Chachamim omrim, zacha musifim lo, lo zacha pochatim lo. Chachamim say that if you're Zoche, then musifim. Musifim means you add on, and as Rashi explains here, et mispar yamecha amalei means, amalei is limalot, to add on, to give, fill up. Which is, that means tosefet, to add on top of that. Lo zacha pochatim lo. If he's not zocheh, he reduces it. So you start out with a certain benchmark, And that benchmark can be added to, or it can be subtracted from. Amru lo Rabbi Akiva. So the Chachamim say to Rabbi Akiva, Arei Omer, Posafti al Yamecha 15 Shana. What are you going to do with the pasuk, Rabbi Akiva, that says that there were 15 years added on to Chizkiyahu's life? Samalem, Mishalo Hosifula. Those were his own years. At first, he had sinned by not getting married. Sinning by not getting married, they reduced his lifespan. He had a lifespan that was going to be 15 years longer. He already lost 15 years from what he did. Then they added it back. I mean, when he did, or he did the tshuva when he was sick, then Yeshayahu says you gained back the 15 years that you had lost. It's not like you got 15 years on top of what you should have gotten. No, you should have gotten this. You had lost it. Now you regained it. Teda, and I'll prove it to you. Sharei Navi Omeidu Mitnabe. We have the Navi standing in Melachim Aleph in the time of Yeravam. Hinei bin nolad de Beit David, Yoshiyahu Shemo. That there's going to be a son born to Beit David, and his name is Yoshiyahu HaMelech. Now Yoshiyahu is the grandson of Menashe. If Chizkiyahu has Menashe, and then Menashe has grandchild, that will be Yoshiyahu HaMelech. So Vadayim lo nolad Menashe. And here we don't have Menashe yet born. And here the Navi is saying that there's going to be a child that is born named Yoshiyahu. Well, Yoshiyahu can only be born if Menashe was born. And that can only be true if Chizkiyahu had children. And the sin of Chizkiyahu HaMelech, Gemara in Brachot says that he didn't get married. Why didn't he get married? Because he saw he's going to have a child like Menashe, an evil child, so he didn't want to get married. And there's the famous line of the Navi, B'chadei kavshei d'rachmon olamalach. Why are you getting involved in God's problems? You have a mitzvah to do. You have a job to do. Hashem will take care of the rest. So even if you're going to have Menashe, that's not your job. Your job is to do the mitzvah, brur vu, and to get married. But what you see here is that the Navi originally has a prediction that he's going to have a child, and that child will bear another child, a grandchild, that will be Yoshiyahu HaMelech. That means that originally set out for Chizkiyahu HaMelech was this din that he would have a child, Menashe, which would be in those latter 15 years, and that Yoshiyahu would be born. Then he lost it, and then he regained it. So what are the Chachamim going to do with that? That sounds like a pretty good proof for Rabbi Akiva that Chizkiyahu was predicted to have children, even though at that point in time he hadn't had children, and now they're saying they added 15 years. Had he not added the 15 years, what would have happened? Mar says, Rabbanan k'miktiv mi Chizkiyahu de Beit David k'tiv. Doesn't say that necessarily it was a descendant of Chizkiyahu HaMelech. Says it's a descendant of Beit David. Imi Chizkiyahu nolad, imi nishachrina. Could have come from Chizkiyahu, could have come from someone else. I mean, God has different ways to get to the end point of Yoshiyahu HaMelech. Doesn't always have to be through Chizkiyahu HaMelech. He can arrange it a different way. So there's no proof from there. A proof, because there it never mentions Chizkiyahu himself. It only mentions that Beit David will have such a child. Now that's interesting about Nevuot in general here. How do you deal with such Nevuot that seem to be conditioned or explain things? First of all, the Nevuah that you're going to die. That Yeshayahu says to Chizkiyahu HaMelech, this is a Nevuah that you're going to die. Here you have a Nevuah that he's going to have a child. How do you deal with these Nevuot, which really are premised on people making decisions that will make it work out? So there's some who suggest that that's all these types of nevuot have a built-in tenai in them, which is if you are so deserving, or if you are not deserving. So that's built in. When they say that you, Chizkiyahu HaMelech, are going to die, that means if you're not deserving, you're going to die. If you do nothing at this point, that's what's going to happen. Or on the other side, if he says that you're going to have a child, Yoshiyahu HaMelech, if you do what's right, that's what will happen. If you don't do what's right, we might have to adjust the nevuah. So here's a possibility, according to some, that a nevuah may not come true. Every nevuah is given, but built into it is a condition, and therefore the nevuah may not come true. That's the way what you could learn. Tosafot, on the other hand, here takes a slightly different approach. So he says, what are you going to do over here? He says, Alor korchach, eina navi mitnabe, ela mashra uiliot, im lo ayachute. So the navi gives a nevuah, what should be, if you don't sin. So that's the natural way, or that's what the Navi is doing. Then, what about over here? With Chizkiyahu HaMelech. If the Navi is already predicting that Yoshiyahu HaMelech is going to be born, then how do we deal with that? So he says, Va'omeri, the Shema Hadorot Nigzeruli Valeid, Boto Azman, Voto Aperak Sheim Noladim, Ubshnea Tosefe Nigzar Lo Loholid Menashe. That the way that Gzeirah worked was that he would have children or Dorot out of the normal time period that he had. And then with the additional time period, that's when Menashe would have been born. Because otherwise, it would have been a proof to the Chachamim's position. He would have had to have extra time in order for this to work out. But the reason just is that you have to say the Nevuah meant that he would have children even before that period of time. Just the Menashe would be born in that extra period of time. And that's what the whole conversation about is Menashe and this extra period of time. Not that he wouldn't have children, or not that he wouldn't have had Dorot, and therefore maybe the Nevuah could have come true from children that were born before the Tosefet. That Menashe and Yoshiyahu came in the Tosefet period. But that's only because that would be the derech that would happen, which is through Menashe you'll have a Yoshiyahu Melech, but there's a possibility of having the children in the normal lifespan that he had, not with the Tosefet, and those children could have produced Yoshiyahu, not through Menashe as necessarily, but it could have been some sort of descendants to Beit David that would have created this Yoshiyahu Melech without having the Tosefet. So the way Tosafot learns is that the Nevuot aren't built with the Tanai necessarily, but the Nevuot can be manifest in different ways, which is, we in the end, the Nevuah is manifest through getting the extra years having Menashe and through Yoshiyahu HaMelech. Had that not happened that way, the Nevuah would have come true in another manner. So that Nevuah is always true, it's just a question of how it's manifest. So that's the way that you would have to explain it, as opposed to the others who say, no, that a Nevuah may not come true. It has a Tanai built into it, and if the Tanai is not Nitzkayim, you didn't fulfill those conditions, no Nevuah. The Nevuah is canceled. It's as if it didn't happen. Whereas the way Tosafot says, Nevuah is going to happen no matter what. Just a question of how it's going to happen. And the way that you act or your behavior will determine the means by which it will happen. All right, now the Gemara ends off here. It ends off the parak with Ishto Shemeta V'chulei. Yivimto Shemeta V'chulei. This is the last part of the Mishnah, which describes the fact that when it comes to Achot Ishto, or Achot Yivimto, they're limited to the period of time while she's alive. Or even if she's nitgaresh, then she still has an isur as long as she is still alive. But if she passes away, then the isur dissipates. So Amar Rav Yosef, kan shana Rabbi Mishnah Shein Etzricha. Over here, Rabbi taught us something that was unnecessary. So the way Rashi learns it, Shein Etzricha, to Zil Kari Ve'Rav. Go look at the psukim in the Torah. You don't need the Mishnah to tell you. It says, Achot Ishto Bechayah. It says, while she's alive. The Torah tells you that. That as long as she's alive, there's a problem. If she's not alive, then there's no problem. Why do I need the limud in the Mishnah? Aleh Bechayah is obvious from the psukim. So Rashi says it's completely unnecessary. Other Rishonim take a more narrow scope on what's unnecessary. You can see that in Tosafot here as well. Ela Nira Lari, Divimto, Hi Mishnah, Shein Tzricha. That the Yevimto, the Yevama part, is unnecessary. The Kevin, the Tana Ishto, Koshken Yevimto. Meaning that if the problem by Isha is Isha Elachota Lebechaya, and the Mishnah describes to you what that is, then all you have to do is extrapolate that to Yevama. You don't have to write the whole thing by Yevama again. So that's the unnecessary part. Many of the Rishonim deal with the fact that there are Diukim here that are not so obvious, that we learn out from here other things. And those things are not so obvious, like the Tosafot Rishonim talks about here, that if you have a grusha, when he divorces her, and she marries a third party, now maybe you should consider as if she's meita, because he can't be machzir grushato anymore. So as far as he's concerned, she is meita, because she's no longer in his world, or in his purview anymore. So maybe you could have considered that to be meita. So I still need the din of grusha to tell me that even after grusha, she's still considered to be alive and problematic. So what the Rishonim do, and the Ramban here, you have the Tosafot Rishonim and other Rishonim do is, they say there's certain little diukim here that are important. But some of the main stuff is not important. So Mishnah Tzricha doesn't mean the whole thing is completely unnecessary. It just means the majority of what's written here is unnecessary, but we need it for one small thing. And the Ritva says, just for those little things, you wouldn't have written it all out, or you won't write it at all for those little diukim. Other Rishonim say you would have written it for those diukim, but there's a lot of extraneous information here which wasn't necessary because you could have learned that out of the psukim. Either way, it's just a part of this Mishnah was unnecessary, but as we say, lagdil Torah v'yadir. The Rebbe put it in there because it just enhances our understanding, and even though it's a repetition, nevertheless, it as a cumulative effect, it helps us to understand the Mishnah or keeps us in the topic. Right, with that, we end the fourth parak, Hadron Alach, Acholetz. Now we begin the fifth parak, something that we've mentioned before, which is this machloket between Rabban Gamliel and the Chachamim. Rabban Gamliel Omer, Ein Get Archa Get, V'lo Ma'amar Achar Ma'amar, velo bi'ila achar bi'ila, velo chalitza achar chalitza. Gamliel says that if someone gives a get, does mamar, has bi'ah, or does chalitza with a yivama, that ends that story. Now it's only if you do the same thing again. I mean, if you change what you've done, for instance, if you do a get and then mamar, or mamar then get, there will be get achar mamar, or mamar achar get. But if you do the same thing over again, whatever you did the first time is done, and then the second time is meaningless. And the Gemara will explain this at the end of today's daf, what this is. The Chachamim disagree and say, yesh get achar get, v'yesh mamar achar mamar. Avalo achar bi'ila, avalo achar chalitza, klum. They agree as far as chalitza is concerned and bi'ah is concerned that that's the end of the road. But with regards to get and mamar, there is the possibility that something can happen afterwards. The nature of their machloket is something that we've seen before, which is the get, how does it work? How does mamar work? The primary vehicles for yivama are bia, which consummates the yibum, or chalitza, which terminates the yibum. So as far as the Torah is concerned, that's only two things that we know about. We know about chalitza, and we know about bia. Once you have that, obviously there's nothing afterwards, because you did what the Torah needed to be done here. So those two things create the termination of whatever was needed to be done here. Anything afterwards is either not necessary or does nothing or is problematic. We'll see why in a second. On the other hand, with mamar and get, it's not clear what mamar and get do because these are additions dirabanan. We're going to Beit Shammai, possibly it's an addition d'oraita that it works, mamar. But what is their, how do they function, mamar and get? So here you have a machloket, and this is a similar type of machloket that we've seen earlier in the Masechta as to a safek. We have a safek as how to get the mamar work. The way Rav Gamliel sees it is, it's black and white. Either mamar works fully, or it doesn't work at all. It's binary. Same thing with regards to get. Get either works 100% or doesn't work at all. So Rav Gamliel's safek is, does get work or does it not work? So then, if I have get achar get, then mimonav shach, whatever the first get did, the second get does. So if the first get did nothing, then the second get did nothing as well. And so therefore there's no meaning to the second get. If the first get is 100% effective in terminating this zikat yibum, then the second get does the same thing, but the first get already accomplished it, so the second get is meaningless. That's the way Rabbi Gamliel views it. And the same thing with mamar. If mamar either works 100% or doesn't work at all. So if mamar works 100%, then the first mamar accomplished everything to what there is to accomplish, the second mamar is meaningless. If the first mamar does nothing, then so does the second mamar do nothing, and therefore the second mamar is not meaningful. Because the way Rabbi Gamliel views the safek in mamar and get, that it's binary, 0, 100%, the second mamar achar mamar, or get achar get, is meaningless. According to the Chachamim, they have a position that mamar and get do a half the job. They don't do a full job, they only do a half a job. So since they only do a half a job, then if the first get does half the job, then the second get can also do a half a job, and they create a problem for you. Mamar, the same thing. The first mamar did half a job, the second mamar also does half a job, and they both cause a problem. That's why there's mamar, achar mamar, and get, achar get. That's the key difference between their opinions here. The Mishnah says now, ketzad, which is nothing to do with the machloket ben Gamliel and the Chachamim, but rather explaining the cases here. What are the permutations of doing one thing and then another thing? And the Mishnah is going to go through all these different permutations and tell you what the halacha is. Now, as far as the Chachamim are concerned here, we believe that this Mishnah is according to Rabbi Akiva. We're going to see along the way why that is, but that Chayevei Lavin, when there's a Chiyuv Lav, Dushin Ar Tovsin, and you have a problem, that's why it doesn't work. That's for sure is true in the position of the Chachamim. According to many of the Rishonim, it's also true in Rabbi Gamliel's position that he holds like Rabbi Akiva. But as Tosafot points out over here, that's not necessary. Rabbi Gamliel could even hold like the Chachamim, or like Shimon HaTemani against Rabbi Akiva. But for certain, the Gemara will tell us that the Chachamim hold like Rabbi Akiva, and we'll see why here. In the Mishnah, you have to say that they hold like Rabbi Akiva. But Ketzad, what happened here? Here is a scenario where one Yavam with one Yavama, Asa Mamar Bivimto, he does Mamar with this Yavama, Venatana Get. And then afterwards, he gives her a Get. Tzricha Imenu Chalitza. So here with the same, here is one Yavam with one Yavama, and he does Mamar with her the first time. So Mamar is this quasi Kiddushin that he creates. So to unwind the Mamar, you need a Get. So he gave a Get to unwind it. But in doing so, he never dealt with the Yibum aspect of it, which is that he needs either Yibum or Chalitza. Yibum is no longer permitted because the get ruined that. So since the get ruined that, the only choice he has now to do is chalitza. So he requires chalitza. He did mamar, then requires a get, then he requires chalitza to unwind the zika. As Tosafot points out here, this is only true if you get a get stam. That applies both for the mamar and for the zika. But if he just get a get, and he specified it was only to remove the mamar, we saw earlier in the Masechta that that actually puts him back to the original position. And if he's in the original position, now he can make a choice whether to make perform Yibum or Chalitza, depending on the Lashon of the Gemara over there. But he is if he reset the situation, if he makes sure to articulate that the get is only given to remove the mamar. Because then he just basically resets the situation, and then he proceeds forward from there. But he gives a get stam, then we assume it also affects the zika, and then it creates a problem, as the Mishnah is discussing over here. Asa mamar v'chalitza. He does mamar, and then he does chalitza. So he does mamar, he has kiddushin here. Does chalitza, he unwound the zika. So now his only choice again is to terminate here. But the termination is not enough with chalitza, because everyone gets rid of the zika. How do you get rid of the kiddushin through the mamar? Tzricha imen a get. He has to give her a get in order to unwind it. Asa mamar ubal. He does mamar, and then he has biyah. Harizuk mitzvata. That's good. He did mamar, then he does biyah. He did the mitzvah of Yibum. That's the preferable way to do the mitzvah of Yibum, even though technically if he just did biyah, it would have worked. But over here, he did mamar first, and then biyah. That's perfectly good, and that's actually, we prefer that way, because that is that kiddushin derabanan that is put into the world of Yibum. So he did that, and then he married the Yivama. I mean, we like it. You don't have to, but the Rabbanan instituted it in order to have a form of kiddushin in Yibum. Okay, Natan get, vasa mamar. If he gives a get, and then he does mamar. So now the get already caused a problem in here, because the get does some sort of partial termination of the zika. But then he does mamar. So now the mamar is not fully effective because the get already preceded it. But on the other hand, because the get didn't unwind everything, the mamar has some impact. Then, tzricha get v'chalitza. Now you're going to need another get to unwind the mamar, and you're going to need a chalitza to unwind the zika tayibum that is there. Natan get ubal. What happens if he gives a get, and then he has biyah? So again, the get already took away the option for him to actually perform yibum anymore, because the get partially disengages him from the Yivama. So now if he gave the get, and then he does biyah, tzricha get v'chalitza. He requires get for the biyah, and he requires chalitza to unwind the zika. Now this is even according to Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, who says that chayve lavin aren't tofsin by kiddushin, over here, you don't have that, because he started with a get and not with chalitza. Had he started with a chalitza, then he would have an isur lav, the bia would have no meaning at that point. But because he started with a get, which doesn't have the full effect of releasing the woman, it's only a partial release, then the bia afterwards has impact, even according to Rabbi Akiva. And therefore you're going to require a get for the bia, and a chalitza for the side of the zikata yibum. Natan get v'chalatz. If he gives a get and then chalitza, ein achar chalitza klum. After chalitza, you don't need anything. Again, the get made it difficult, but the chalitza finished off whatever the get didn't do, and now we've terminated. Anything he does after that point in after the chalitza is meaningless, because the chalitza basically terminated everything that happened. Now, the Gemara gives here a case of chalitza, which again means that nothing happens after chalitza. Chalatz. If the first action he took was chalitza, which means that he's terminated the zikata yibum, it's done. Everything's done. Then, vasa mamar, Natan get ubal. Now again, these are either or. He didn't do all of these items. He did or did chalitza and then did mamar. Chalitza and then gave a get. Or chalitza and then did biyah. So in all of these cases, he didn't do anything. That's what the Mishnah is going to conclude in a second. Ein achar chalitza klum. After chalitza, it's not meaningful. Look, chalitza terminates the zikar yibum. So clearly doing mamar afterwards has no bearing. And giving a get afterwards has no bearing. The only question is biyah. After the chalitza, that is a question, because once he's done chalitza with the woman, she is under the restriction of a lav, which is kevin shlo bana shuv lo yivneh. That once he didn't build, he can't go on then and build afterwards, which is an iser lav. So according to most, by Yisrilav, Kiddushin or Tovsin, or the Bia would be Tofes. So from here, the Gemara proves that who's the author of this Mishnah is Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva says that by Chiyuvei Lavin, the Kiddushin are not Tovsin, that's why that the Bia, after the Chalitza, has no bearing over here. Even though we're dealing with an Yisrilav, and something, the Mamar, or the Bia might have been Tofes, according to someone else, according to Rabbi Akiva, it has no meaning over here, and that's why after the Chalitza, nothing happens over here. Obviously, the Get Achar Chalitza is not meaningful, but Mamar and Biyah also will have nothing afterwards because you have a Chiyuvei Lavin over here, and a Chiyuvei Lavin prevents any of this from taking effect. And that's why there's nothing. Now, the other scenario, Obal. He did Biyah first. Then, after Biyah, he did Mamar, Asa Mamar, or Natan Get, O Chalatz. So then, the Mishnah concludes, Ein achar chalitza klum. It should have also concluded, Ein achar biyah klum. And the Gemara will ask why that's missing from the Mishnah. But over here, if he was boel, and then he did mamar. The mamar after biyah is meaningless because he was already kones. The woman, through the biyah, she's fully a yevama. Natan get. If he gave a get after the biyah, then he divorced her. That's right. He married her, and now he divorced her. That's all he needs. If he married her, he had bi'ah, and does chalitza, the chalitza has no bearing over here, because chalitza only works when it's a zika. But now that he's already married to her, the chalitza has no bearing anymore, and therefore it should have said again, for the first piece of it, it should have said, ein chalitza, ein achar chalitza klom, and the second piece it said, ein achar bi'ah klom, but it only stated, ein achar chalitza klom, for both of them. Again, the Gemara will address this. So these are all scenarios where the individual is dealing with a single yivama. This is the Abam dealing with a single yivama. Now, the Mishnah says, achat yivama achat le yabam echad. Doesn't matter whether this is a single yivama with a single yabam, like we just described, or vachat shtei yivamot le yabam echad. Similarly, the same scenario would be true when you have shtei yivamot with a single yabam. Man, he's not dealing with a single woman. In the first part of the Mishnah, it was one Yabam dealing with a single woman. He's doing two actions with a single woman. Over here, he's doing two actions, but there were different Yivamot. Or again, you could switch around and say there are two Yivamim doing with a single Yivama. The first part of the Mishnah dealt with a one-on-one situation. Now we're dealing with a one-on-two situation. The Mishnah says the din is the same. Ketzad. Asa mamar bezu, uba mamar bezu. He did mamar with the first yivama, and they did mamar with the second yivama. Now, the divrei chachamim, where mamar, achar mamar has impact, tzricha shnei gitin v'chalitza. He has to give a get to each one of the yivamot to unwind the mamar, and then he has to do chalitza with one of them in order to release the zikata yibum. Now, as Tosafot points out, earlier in the Masechta, we saw that if you believe when the chalitza is a chalitza psula, because it's not a fully effective chalitza, you need a chalitza with each one of the yivamot. Over here, he would not suffice with one chalitza. He would need a chalitza with each of the women. And that would be true in all the subsequent cases as well, where we say you need one chalitza. That's only true if you believe that that will suffice. If you believe that all the women need chalitzot, then it would be chalitza means chalitza with each of the yivamot in order to accomplish the chalitza psula being effective. Mamar bezu v'get bezu. If he does mamar with the first one and then get with the second one, then the get with the second one now puts him into a position of kemen shlo bana shlo yivineh, so he can't go ahead and have bia with the first one, even though he did mamar with her first, but he has to have tzricha get. He has to have a get to the first one to unwind the mamar, and then chalitza from one of them to unwind the zika. Mamar bezu ubalet zu. He did mamar with the first of the yivamot, and then bia with the second one. Tzrichaot beit kitin vechalitza. He has to divorce the first one's mamar. He needs a get for the bia with the second one, which is partially effective. It's not fully effective because the mamar with the first one preceded his doing bia with the second yivama. So the bia is not fully effective, but it's effective enough that he has to get a get from her. So you need a get for the mamar, you need a get for the bia, and chalitza with one of them in order to unwind the zikata yibum. Mamar bezu b'chalatz lezu. He did mamar with the first one, and then chalitza with the second one. Harishuna tzricha get. Then the first one requires a get to unwind the mamar, but the chalitza is now accomplished with the second one, and the chalitza terminates everything and says, from this point forward, there's nothing going on. But the mamar that preceded it has to be unwound, and therefore we have to give a get to unwind the mamar that preceded it. Then the chalitza is effective to terminate the whole process prospectively. But we have to still look at the mamar that preceded that chalitza and deal with that. So you have to do a, you need a get to get rid of that mamar, But as far as the chalitza made it impossible for him to go back and marry the first yivamah, because he's under the restriction of kevin shelo bana shuv lo yivneh. And again, he doesn't need any more chalitza because the chalitza was accomplished.
He has two yivamot. He has chalitza on one of them.
He can have yivam with one or chalitza with one. He can't have chalitza with both. He can't have yivam with both. So as soon as he takes an action with one of them, the other one is released with that. So the co-wife is released automatically with the action with one of the yivamot. Get the zu, we get the zu. If he gives a get to each one of the yivamot, then srichot emenu chalitza. The get's effective in saying that he can't do anything in terms of marrying them, but he still needs a chalitza to release the zikata yibum. Get the zu, ubalet zu. He gives a get to the first one and does bia with the second one. Then the get with the first one made it that you can no longer perform yibum. The get makes it that yibum is no longer a choice. So when he did bia with the second one, it was a bia that was partially effective that it requires him a get now. But on the other hand, he can't continue. He can't keep this woman. Therefore, it's yukha get. He has to give a get to the one he did bia with. And they both need chalitza now in order to terminate the zikata yibum here. Get the zu umamar bezu. If he gave a get to the first one, mamar to the second one. Tzricha get b'chalitza. Yes, they give get for the one who got mamar and chalitza from both of them in order to end off the zikat ha'ibum. Get the zu b'chalat the zu. If he gave a get to the first one and chalitza to the second one, ein achar chalitza klum. Chalitza is the end of the process. So the first get didn't do anything in terms of changing the fact that the chalitza is effective. So the get to the first one, whatever it did, it did. And the chalitza ends the whole process and we're done. Now chalatz, if he did chalitza first, v'chalatz, and then chalitza to the second one, or chalatz, he did chalitza with the first one, vasa mamar, and he did mamar with the second one, or he did chalitza with the first one and natan get to the second one, oh, chalitza to the first one, and then ba'al to the second one, all of those, the Mishnah second will say, in achar chalitza klum. Chalitza being the first action ends the whole game here. There's nothing left at this point. Once he does chalitza, any action taken afterwards is meaningless, because chalitza broke the zikat ayibom. Therefore, the get afterwards has no meaning. The mamar afterwards has no meaning. And even the bia afterwards has no meaning, especially here, because we're holding like Rabbi Akiva. Once you say Rabbi Akiva, once he does chalitza with the first one, then he has a restriction of kevin shelo bana, shuv lo yivneh, there's nisr lav, then the bia afterwards doesn't do anything because he can't make kiddushin. It's not called kiddushin or not tovsin be chiyuvei lavin. Now, o ba'al, or in the case where he was balu ba'al, he did bia with the first woman, and then bia with the second woman. So in that case, we said before, bia is effective like chalitza in ending the process. When he did bia with the first one, he accomplished yibum. When he does bia with the second one, now he's pugeya the yivamto. Now the question of what restriction, that's the machlok of Yochanan and Reish Lakish that we saw earlier in the Masechta, that once you perform yibum or chalitza with one woman, what is the restriction on the other one? Is the status of this woman that she is like the other woman, which is kevin shelo bana shelo yivneh, and there's only an isur lav on her, because the woman who acted to do bia represents all the women there? Or do we say, no, she goes back to being eshdach, and there's an isur karet there? But either way, the second woman is restricted, either with an isur lav, or an isur karet. And since you have an isur lav, isur karet, the bia with the second woman has no bearing, because here it's like Rabbi Akiva. So there is a kiddushin are not tolet faced with the second one. So bia kar bia doesn't do anything for you over here. Oh, ba'al vasa mamar. He does bia with the first one, mamar with the second. Oh, bia at the first one and netan get to the second one. Oh, bia with the first one and chalitza with the second one. Ein achar chalitza klum. Again, after chalitza, there's nothing. And the Mishnah should have also said, ein achar bia klum. So in all these cases, if he performs bia first, that ends it prospectively. There's nothing to do afterwards. Anything done afterwards is post the performance of yibum, and it can't unwind it, and it can't affect the other woman at all. So that's the scenario where it's one yabam and two yivamot. Ben yabam echad l'shtei yivamot, ben shnei yivimim liyivamah achat. This is true with one yabam towards two yivamot, or two yivamim with one yivamah. All of this is true. Chalatz v'asam amar, nantan get ubal, ubal v'asam amar, v'natan get v'chalatz, ein achar chalitza klum. So again, the representation or the position that is brought over here is unnecessary. This is a repetition of stuff that we've already seen along the way. The only reason that they are bringing it here is because the machlok that the Mishnah is going to raise now. The chalatz v'sam amar is like a one-on-one situation. Again, we're going back to. The Mishnah ended here when it says, ben yabam achad l'shtei yivamot, which we just described in the whole list, Then b'shnei yevavim la ba'achat, which we didn't describe, but the din will be the same. If you have two yevamim, two brothers, doing each one of them doing this action with a single yevamah, that's all true. That's period. That my Mishnah says all of those scenarios are the same. Yabam to yevamah, yabam to shnei yevamot, and shnei yevamim la ba'achat, all of that is true to all of these cases. Then the Mishnah goes back and says, what happens if you have yabam echad against yevamah echad? Again, something that we've seen before. Chalatz v'sam amar natan getu baal. Again, in that case, we did chalitza first, and then afterwards did ma'amar, or did chalitza and gave a get, or did chalitza ubal, and then he did bia, or the other way around, bila first, baal, and then after bia he does ma'amar, or after bia he gave a get, or after bia he does chalitza, in achar chalitza klum. Chalitza, after chalitza there's nothing going on, and same thing in achar bia klum. But now we have a definition. In achar is a klum, ben betchila, ben be'ensa, ben mesof. No matter where chalitza comes in the process, as soon as you reach chalitza, that's a terminating factor. So if chalitza is first, it terminates, and there's nothing after chalitza. If chalitza is in the middle, that means anything before chalitza has to be dealt with, but anything after chalitza does not have to be dealt with. Ben basof, if chalitza is the last thing that you do, again, you have to deal with everything beforehand, but the chalitza ends the game, and there's no more zika de yibum over here. Va bi'ila. What about with regards to biya? Biya, we just said, works like chalitza. Ein achar chalitza klum, ein achar biya klum. Is that really true? The Mishnah says, bezman shi b'tchila, ein acharei klum. If biya is the first action that you take, then biya stops the process, and anything prospectively is meaningless. Of course, if he gives a get, like David said, then the get's effective to divorce her, because she's his full-fledged wife now, nothing to do with yibum, but the get's effective. But after biya, mamar doesn't matter, chalitza doesn't matter, bia doesn't matter, because the first bia was effective in consummating the yibum. Be'emtza basof yesh acharei klum. If you have bia in the middle or in the end, then that's not like chalitza, it does not terminate at that point in time. Because bia in the middle and bia at the end are after something that happened that prevents him from continuing to perform bia at this point in time. If he gave a get in the beginning, the get in the beginning already makes that he's not allowed to continue with bia. So the bia at that point in time is not fully effective in creating yibum. It's a bia that is problematic now where you will not be able to mikayim her. Since that's the case, the bia is not effective to stop the process at that point in time. And if other actions are taken after that bia, it will have impact. And the same thing basof. If the bia is at the end, it doesn't do anything. Rabbi Nechemya Omer, achad bia v'achad chalitza. Nechemya says there's no difference between bia and chalitza. Ben b'tchila, ben b'emtza, ben basof, en acharei klum. Bia works exactly like chalitza. Wherever the bia is performed, that terminates the process. So then all you need is a get to release her. You don't need chalitza anymore. Even if he did a get up front, and then he was boel her, according to the chachamim, you need a chalitza to release her and a get. A get to get rid of the bia and a chalitza to get rid of the zika deibo. On the other hand, for Rabbi Nechemya, if he had a get, then he did bia. Then according to Rabbi Nechemya, all he needs is a get to unwind the bia here, and you're done. The chalitza is over. So he says the bia is effective even in the middle, even at the end, to basically consummate the yibum over here, and then all you will need is a get. So Rabbi Nechemya argues with the chachamim about the effectiveness of bia. Whereas the chachamim only see that bia being effective in the beginning, because that's when it's a full-fledged bia, and it makes the consummates the yibum. In the middle or in the end, you already have something problematic happening beforehand, and that limits his ability to marry this woman. He can't perform yibum anymore. So the bia that he performs has impact, but not the impact of consummating the yibum. For that reason, you're going to have to unwind both the yibum and the bia that happened over here. All right, ad kan lo pligi ele beget achar get u'mamar achar mamar. In the Mishnah, Rabban Gamliel and the Chachamim only argue where you have the same item after each other, get after get or mamar achar mamar. Ava get echad b'yivama. But if it's a get and a yivama, mahani, even Rabbi Gamliel agrees. Even Rabbi Gamliel agrees here that switching between mamar and get makes it effective. Now the Gemara asks, my taima amur rabbanan, get yivama mahani. Why do the chachamim say that by a get, by yivama has impact? Truthfully, a get should do nothing. Get is not a relevant document in the case of yivama. It's either bia or chalitza. Why is get doing anything? Mishum de mahani ba'alma. Because in general, a get is effective. In any other marriage, get would be effective to terminate the marriage. So, diyamart lo mahani. If you tell me over here that get is not effective, amre get lohutzia, v'chalitza lohutzia. Then you're gonna say, look, in general, get works. And get is able to terminate a marriage. All of a sudden here, I give a get, by Yibum, and it's not effective. What are people going to start thinking? They're going to think, just like a get is not effective to terminate the Yibum, so too, chalitza is not effective to terminate it. Umiget lo mahani, chalitza lo ma'nami lo mahani. And since get doesn't work, chalitza also doesn't work. Va'ati le mivel achar chalitza. And they're going to end up trying to perform Yibum after they did chalitza. Because they're going to say, look, chalitza and get are the same vehicle. They are the way to terminate. And if I'm saying here that get, that normally terminates in every other marriage, doesn't terminate by Yibum, I'm going to say chalitza also doesn't terminate. And you can perform Yibum after chalitza. So the Chamim goes there that the get is partially effective to stop the process of Yibum, so that people understand that get is effective and chalitza is effective. Now chalitza will be fully effective, whereas get will only be partially effective. But why would they go there that the get is partially effective? Is to prevent people making the mistake of extrapolating from get not being effective to saying that a chalitza is not effective and you could do Yibum after chalitza. For my time, Amur Rabbanon Mamar B'Yivama Mahani. Why do the Rabbanon say that Mamar has a partial impact by Yivama? Mishum de Mahani Ba'alma. Kiddushin in general are effective in marriage. Diamar lo mahani. If you say by Yibum that they're not effective, Amrei Mamar liknot, ubia liknot. By Kiddushin in general, Mamar or Kiddushin work to marry a woman. Bia, by Yibum is the methodology for Kinyan, it's the methodology to consummate the Yibum. So, Mamar lo mahani, if I tell you over here by Yibum that Mamar does nothing, it's not effective whatsoever, Bia nami lo mahani, then I'm going to say that also Bia is not effective, Ba'ati the Mival achar Bia. And then what is he going to do? He's going to have Bia with one of the Yivamot, and then go ahead and have Bia with another one, thinking that the first Bia wasn't effective. So there you can make a decision, go on and move on to the next one. So what the Chachamim did was, they said, Mamar and Get are partially effective to avoid this confusion that if Get is not effective, you would think that Chalitza is not effective. So in order to ensure that people understood that Chalitza is effective and ends the game, they make Get effective to partially end the game. Same thing with Mamar. To understand that Bia ends the game, so how do they make that clear? They say Mamar also partially ends the game, that Mamar locks in this woman, and you can only have Bia with her and finish off with her. If you go to any other woman, then it ruins the whole case. So that's the Gzerat Chachamim. My time on Rabbanan, Bia Psula, Yesha Chare Aklom. How come the Chachamim say Bia is not first? Remember in the Mishnah, the Chachamim say Bia is only effective if it was the first thing done. But if Bia is done second or last, then it's not effective. How come they say that? Amre, I Bia Char Get, he, if a Bia comes after a Get, Gzera Bia Char Get, Mishum Bia Char Chalitza. The reason that they say Bia after a Get is not effective is because if it was Bia Achar Chalitza, it definitely would not be effective because Ein Achar Chalitza Klom. Chalitza ends everything, so the Bia after that is meaningless. So what do they want? They made a Gzera of Bia Achar Get to make sure that people understood that Bia Achar Chalitza is meaningless. The Bia that you do after Chalitza has no impact. So too, the Bia Achar Get has no impact to show you that that Bia Achar Chalitza has no impact. Bia Bia Achar Mamar. If it's Biachar Mamar, he Gzera Biachar Mamar Mishum Biachar Bia. Right? They made Biachar Mamar. Now obviously this is not with the same woman. If he did Mamar with one woman, did Bia afterwards, then he'd be fully married to her, meaning that he would accomplish Yibum. Has to be that he did Mamar with one woman and Bia with the second woman. How come the Bia with the second woman is not effective? Because if I told you that the Bia with the second woman is effective after you did Mamar with the first one, he's gonna think, if I did Bia with the first one, then Bia with the second one, the Bia with the second one also would be fine, it would be effective. So we don't want that mistake being made. So we say if he does Mamar with the first, that affects Bia the second. Umay tai Mamar Rabbanan, hai chalitza psula in acharei klum. Why do they say that chalitza, no matter where it turns out, whether it's in the beginning, middle, or end, that terminates the whole process? Amrei ma ligzor. There's nothing to be gozer for. Ligzor, nigzor chalitza achar get. He says, mishum chalitza achar chalitza. What are you going to be gozer that a chalitza after a get is not effective because a chalitza achar chalitza is not effective? Let him keep going chalitza. What do we care if he does more and more chalitzot? That doesn't do anything wrong, meaning that if he just does more chalitzot, again, they're not effective, but it does nothing detrimental in sense of we're going to have worry about him doing something wrong. Ligzor chalitza achar mamar. You're worried about doing chalitza after mamar, mishum chalitza achar bia. So if he does chalitza after mamar, you're going to say, oh, if we say it's effective there, then it'll also be effective after bia. Atu chalitza achar mamar milo bayget. In the case where you do chalitza after mamar, we still require you to get a get. So since we still require you to get a get, to unwind the mamar, the mamaro, then chalitza achar bia nami by a get, the biato. So what is, even if he does chalitza after he did bia, it's not going to work. He needs a get. But that's the same thing he needs when he did Ma'amar. So I'm not telling you anything new. He needs a get here, and he needs a get in the other case. So there's no reason to be gozer over here. So that explains the position of the Chachamim all through the Mishnah, why they were gozer, or why they set up their system the way they do. Ma'amar and get are partially effective because of the fear that if we didn't make them partially effective, you would extrapolate to Bia or Chalitza, and you would think you could do something after Bia, you could do something after Chalitza. So in order to prevent that, we made them partially effective, and they ruin whatever is going to come afterwards. In the case of Chalitza, there's no risk. Because if we allow you to do Chalitza up front or in the middle, and we say everything prospectively is no good, again, Chalitza is a terminating factor. And in the case that you want to do Chalitza, and he's going to do more Chalitzot, we don't care. If he's going to do Chalitza and then say, I don't need a get, that's not true. Because even in the case of Ma'amar, he requires a get, so he's going to require a get here, even if he does Chalitza. So we have no fears there, and we say, therefore, Chalitza is effective. By Bia, we said it's only effective in the beginning, but it's not effective in the middle and the end, because there are risks. If we say that it's effective afterwards, then you're going to come to say that Bia Char Bia is also effective. Therefore, we are gozer. That's the Shita of the Chachamim. Amarova, my time with the Rabbi Gamliel. What is Rabbi Gamliel's reasoning? And this is what I explained in the introduction to the Mishnah, that Rabbi Gamliel obviously views Ma'amar and Get differently than the Chachamim. The Chachamim say that it has partial impact over here because of the nature of how it's going to impact on our extrapolation from that to other items. But that means that it's only like a partial effectiveness. That means anything that comes after it will also have that same partial impact. But for Rabbi Gamliel, he says no get after get, no ma'amar after ma'amar. So Rabbi explains, demisfekalei, get, idochi lo, dochi. He doesn't know whether get is fully effective like chalitza, or is completely ineffective and does nothing. So ma'amar, ikani, ilokani. By Ma'amar, he's not sure if the Ma'amar is a full-fledged kinyan, and it's as if he consummated the Yibum, or it's as if it has no impact and does nothing. So therefore, get, idachi, ilodachi. Again, we're not sure if that's equivalent of chalitza, or it's equivalent of doing nothing. Ikamadochi. If it's effective like chalitza, and he did chalitza with the first one, then batra maikovit. Then when he goes to the second one, you don't, chalitza achar chalitza is meaningless, so to get achar get is going to be meaningless. Ikamalodachi. If the first one, the get, did nothing with, then bacha nami lo dochi. Then also the get is completely ineffective with the second one. Just like it was ineffective with the first one, it's completely ineffective with the second one. Therefore, ain't get or forget. The second get is clearly meaningless because it did nothing. It either did nothing, like the first one, it did nothing, or the first one already accomplished everything with her get, so the second one is meaningless. Ma'amar, ikani, ilokani, ikamakani. If ma'amar is fully effective to consummate the yibum, bacha might call it. Then the second ma'amar is doing nothing because yibum was already performed with the first woman. V'kamalokani, if Ma'amar is ineffective with the first woman, completely ineffective, then bacha nami lokani. Then by the second one is completely ineffective. So therefore, the Ma'amar with the second one is meaningless either way. Either the first one already accomplished Yibum, and therefore the Ma'amar with the second one is meaningless, or that it did nothing with the first one, but the same way it did nothing with the first woman, it does nothing with the second woman. And therefore, for Gamliel, in Ma'amar achar Ma'amar, and get achar get, because he has this binary view of get and ma'amar, as opposed to the Chachamim would say it partially effective, and therefore you could have get achar get or ma'amar achar ma'amar. By Gamliel, it's binary. And since it's binary, only the first action is meaningful. Because either it's a zero or it's 100%. And once you've done the zero action or the 100% action, the woman that comes after it is just either out of the picture because it was 100% effective, or just as meaningless as the first action was, because it did nothing with the first one, it does nothing with the second one. Okay, we're going to stop here, 6 lines down on the top of Nun Aleph Amud Aleph.